And I want to talk about the NLCS. He's a senior writer at The Athletic. Previously covered baseball at the Los Angeles Times, the Kansas City Star, and the Star Ledger. Andy, it is good to have you back on. Thank you so much for doing it. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, good. It's good to visit with you. So you've got a great piece on The Athletic right now about the NLCS and especially about what happened to the Dodgers. I want to talk about Atlanta and Houston in a moment, but starting with L.A. and the different factors in their loss, in your opinion, how much of them not making it to the World Series was about their starting pitching just not working out the way they expected?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a part of it. I mean, I guess like the simplest answer is it didn't hit enough, but they hit enough, if that makes sense, right? They did actually score runs. They didn't get shut out every game. And so, you know, their run prevention was below their standard. And I think that they have spent, you know, the last several months kind of trying to build up for the fact that, you know, they had a starting pitcher shortage. You know, that traces back to, you know, in my opinion, to the decision to sign Trevor Bauer. That has obviously backfired spectacularly. It's been an embarrassment for the organization, and they've been doing lots of things, you know, basically this entire season to try and compensate for that. So they acquired Max Scherzer. They made a lot of other, you know, sort of moves. They, you know, didn't give Clayton Kershaw the necessary time to rest when he initially hurt his elbow. And so it led to a situation where they entered the postseason with three effective starting pitchers. And then they made the, you know, frankly, confounding decision, at least in the case of Julio Urias, to use him in relief, you know, which cost them a game in game two against the NLCS and also, you know, sort of made him less effective in his next start. And they also saw that the decision to use Max Scherzer in relief, which I think was more defensible, completely backfired as well. And that, you know, he was basically just asked out of pitching in game six of the NLCS, or maybe that's a little strong, but it was decided he should not pitch in game six, which they lost with Walker Buehler on short rest. So yeah, I mean, the pitching was a real issue.
Andy McCullough joining us, a senior writer of The Athletic. So having said all that, let me ask you were talking to Ned Yost about the approach of using a starter as a reliever, which is something that Dave Roberts and Alex Cora both did in the championship series. What do you make, or what did Yost make of how it was done this year, and what's his thinking behind that?
I mean, I think he found it interesting. I called Ned, you know, I used to cover the Royals, and so I have a relationship with him, and I thought it'd be interesting because he is someone who on, you know, a very big stage for him in the American League wildcard game in 2014, used a starting pitcher in relief, Yordano Ventura, and saw it, you know, just blow up in his face. Ventura gave up a three-run bomb, and, you know, the Royals did come back to win that game, but had they not, there was a decent chance and Ned Yost might have lost his job over that decision. And so I was interested just in his take on it, and, you know, his point was, I think, fairly similar to what a lot of people in baseball think about these things, which is kind of the risk often outweighs the reward, the risk of, you know, what might happen if the, you know, one, if the pitcher just doesn't pitch well, but two, if it affects him in his next start. And I think, you know, you saw that, you know, specifically with the Dodgers. I mean, you know, I understand using Max Scherzer in relief in game five of the NLDS. I get the appeal of, you know, needing him there or feeling like you needed him there to close out the Giants, who are obviously a very, very good baseball team, but I don't think anyone really could have predicted how much it would have affected him and rendered him, you know, he had a dead arm, you know, when he took the baseball again for the Dodgers. I believe it was in game two. You know, like, you know, he couldn't finish the fifth inning, and then he just couldn't go in game six. And so, like, that's the risk, right? And the reward is you get a clean inning. And I think, you know, you can see kind of the difference in scale there.
We're talking to Andy McCullough. So really quickly, I mean, we talked about the Dodgers pitching and Trevor Bauer and the decisions that they made to use starting pitching out of the bullpen and such. But none of this really explains what happened to the offense, right? What happened to the Dodger offense?
So losing Max Muncy right on the last day of the season really hurts. Muncy was their best hitter. He was kind of the left-handed, like, middle cog in the lineup who, you know, always had good at-bats. And so, you know, okay, that hurts. Justin Turner, you know, sort of was not physically really at his peak, and he was out for the last couple games. But, you know, look, I mean, you kind of saw what the offense had been for much of the season. I mean, it was, they scored a lot of runs and in some ways, you know, were very effective, but they had a lot of games that they would win, you know, 3-1 or, you know, 4-2 because the pitching was just so good. This was not an offense that was very consistent. And so they were not consistent in this postseason, you know, and I think, you know, Trey Turner obviously, you know, really struggled. You know, Corey Seager hit for power a little bit, but was not the Corey Seager he was last October. Mookie Betts, you know, was pretty good, you know, in for most of it, but wasn't really hitting for power. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he has any sort of procedure to deal with the hip problem he had for most of the year. I mean, they just, you know, the big guys in their lineup did not produce in the way that they had in years past.
Andy McCullough is joining us to break it all down. All right, so what about the World Series? Gets underway tomorrow night. What are your initial thoughts on that matchup?
I think it's actually going to be pretty good. I mean, having watched Atlanta up close, you know, in the NLCS, I know they won 88 games, but they're better than an 88-win team. They have, you know, Alex Anthopoulos deserves a lot of credit for how he made up for losing Ronald Acuna during, you know, right before the trade deadline. You know, they were able to get Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, and Eddie Rosario, who apparently is the best hitter on the like I've ever seen.
Seriously,
played near the stretch in the NLCS. But what they have, right, is they have a lineup that doesn't really have a dead spot. They have a good hitter, more or less, or a competent hitter in all eight spots in their lineup, which is, you know, really, which is really, really valuable this time of year. They're not going to be giving up free outs. You know, the problem though is that Houston, you know, they had been my pick to win, you know, for much of the year. I think they're very, very dangerous. You know, their offense is just ferocious. Yordan Alvarez is just as hot as Eddie Rosario, if not more. You know, you've got Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve, who are obviously battle-tested. You know, it'll be interesting. With Lance McCullers is unlikely to pitch in the series. He is Houston's best starting pitcher. You know, Atlanta is going to probably have to pitch some sort of bullpen game in there, you know, in the seven-game series. So I think the things favor Houston, but it should be a good competitive series. And Atlanta is a lot better than an 88-win team, I think, in terms of their true talent.
Right, I think that's such a good point you make. They are definitely. I mean, yeah. I keep thinking, like, you know, the setup is so wrong. Like, how can a team that's 18 and a half back of L.A. have the home field advantage, but they are so much better than their 88 wins? You know, you and I talked about this earlier in the year, but you have a great piece on the Astros and how they've had to deal with the heat that they've taken from the fans.
Yeah.
And the cheating scandal. Would winning a World Series this year eliminate the questions that the fans have or only amplify them?
Yeah, I mean, did it eliminate it for the Patriots when they won in the post, you know, Spygate, post Deflategate era? No, I mean, that's just, it becomes part of your record, you know, and whether that's fair or unfair, you know, I don't care. I mean, I think that once you get, you know, caught doing things like this, it just becomes, you know, your identity. And that's, you know, maybe that's, you know, a shame that you get, you know, branded that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's not going to change how they're treated, you know, how they're perceived, I guess, by fans. And it's also not going to change how they're perceived here in Houston. I mean, this team is beloved by the city. They've really, you know, stood behind them despite, you know, getting caught cheating. And so, I don't think it will change much.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to change anything at all. I think you're right. He's a senior writer at The Athletic, previously covered baseball for the Los Angeles Times, the Kansas City Star, and the Star-Ledger. Very good to talk to you, too. Andy, thanks so much. I really appreciate you. Great to have you back.
No problem, Jim. Have a good one.
Good job. Really smart. Good content. All right, so I left you a moment or two on the back end. If there's something you want to jump in on at the last second, you go right ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. We had our ATPs. Salty Sarah sang Bella B. Of course, she's at the top of the chain. The way she desperately hangs on to my ankle. Sarah, a little harsh. And yes, Sarah, I should have mentioned you. Hey, Sarah, not that I'm ever going to make an excuse. I'm not about making the excuses, but you got to cut me a little slack, yo. I did go to New York and back this weekend. Sorry, never again, Sarah, will I forget you. You definitely are on that short list. I'm just saying Bella B is about all of it. And no, I'm not looking for somebody to kiss up. I'm just saying she's got a great passion for the program and everything about the program.